couple of years, the Resources Sector Outlook is a publication which we release. It looks at the growth enablers for the resource sector across Western Australia for people, energy, water and infrastructure. And it's based on demand surveys of companies, but it also looks at policy supply side settings. What the latest outlook forecasts is it really reinforces the structural shift which we've seen throughout 2014, and that's really from an investment in construction-led growth to export-led growth. And what we're finding is overall the workforce will decline out to 2025 by about 17%, but it's important to note that that will be double the pre-expansion levels which we saw back in 2004. In terms of energy, what we're seeing is what we're forecasting is an annualised rate of growth of about 1.5% out to 2025, and really a transition from the use of diesel to natural gas. And then on the water side of things, what we're forecasting is a compound annual growth rate of about 5.4% to 2019 before slightly declining over the longer term. In terms of infrastructure, it really looks at road, ports, aviation, and what we're finding is that the need for infrastructure capacity across all those classes will need to be expanded as we transition further into the production phase.
And there has been much, you know, media and I guess general public commentary about this change from a wider resources outlook into this operational phase that we're seeing at the moment. But Andrew, talk to me about that, particularly that energy aspect of things and how we actually go from this transition from diesel to gas.
Yeah, so as I said, primary energy consumption is forecast to grow at about 1.5% annually out to 2025. I mean, what we've seen since the mid-1970s is natural gas is really emerging as the key energy source across the state. As a proportion moving forward, what we'll see is about 52% at least resource sector primary energy consumption coming from natural gas, with diesel going down to about 48%. That's largely driven by increased on-site electricity generation, but also we're forecasting or expecting the use of natural gas in the operation of mobile plant and equipment. And I guess a few examples more recently, we've seen the Dampier to Bunbury natural gas pipeline to FMG Solomon Hutt for their power station. And also at the moment, APA are building a pipeline for AngloGold's Ashanti's Tropicana gold mine out in the eastern goldfields.
And more broadly, looking at the resources sector, and you did mention there, this report obviously does touch on access to infrastructure, not just the mines themselves, but also that access in and around them. What do you need? Let's just look here, particularly in the southwest region. What do you need to happen in terms of the infrastructure that we have available?
I guess for the southwestern, you would have seen in the Southwest Blueprint released on Wednesday that the number of residents is predicted to increase by about up to 230,000 people over the next few years. What the Chamber supports is the Roads to Export initiative, which is essentially a package of infrastructure which brings together rail and port infrastructure. We also need to ensure that there's the adequate protection of transport corridors and industrial buffers in the southwest. And I guess more broadly across the state, what the Chamber would be advocating for is a broader state infrastructure plan, and as part of that, an arm's length advisory body to the government on appropriate projects which should be funded to meet the needs of the state over the next few years.
And so would that infrastructure and transport plan need to be a combination of industry and government working together and creating that kind of plan?
Absolutely. It needs to bring together the key stakeholders within industry as well as relevant government agencies to get a really good understanding about what the state's infrastructure requirements are, whether that be for water, energy, roads, rail, ports, aviation and also telecommunications. But it needs to be a joint effort.
And is that something that's looking likely?
I think we have seen some improvements in terms of infrastructure planning in the state. A couple of years ago, the government released its Regional Freight Transport Network plan, which looked at roads, rail and port, which was a positive initiative. Also the blueprints, and as we've seen, the South West one's just been released, which is positive. But what the Chamber would like to see is an overall plan right across the state, which brings together all those bits and pieces which are currently being done.
And how do you plan for these kind of, you know, if we're talking about long-term infrastructure projects that will need to meet the needs of resources industries as they may change due to different demands in pricing, due to different demands in export, how do you long-term plan for those kind of things?
Well, and I guess the Chamber certainly in that space, as I've mentioned, we release our resource sector outlook every couple of years. The first one we released was back in 2009 and then versions in 2011, 2013 and then our 2015 to 2025. And we've actually gone out to the resource sector in Western Australia and we've asked them what their requirements are out to 2025 to really inform government policy and government planning for those growth enablers of the industry.
When we're talking about iron ore, that's definitely something that's the top of mind for a lot of people here in WA. And we talk about these huge changes in that construction production kind of periods and the different demands it has on employment and also the different demands that the pricing of something like iron ore can really have on our entire economy. Why is it that here in the Southwest there's smaller industries and, you know, obviously alumina is a big earner for the state, but that things seem to be so much more steady around our region?
Yeah, I guess it's important to look in the context of what the state's producing. So the production value of the sector for last year was $114 billion. Of that, $65 billion was iron ore and $25 billion was petroleum products. So when you have changes in iron ore or oil prices, there's obviously changes in the state government's budget. And, you know, the resources sector makes up about 20% or thereabouts of the state government's budget. I guess in looking for the Southwest, you know, the value of the sector is $1.9 billion, which is still significant. It employs over 11,000 people, which is significant as well, and it's certainly the main economic contributor to the Southwest, coming in at around 26%.
And just finally, saying that in this particular region, there's obviously a lot of talk about potential for agriculture, potential for skill development. It's obviously a growing urban region as well in much of our southwest. But as you say, it is resources is really something that holds up the economy of this region. Do you think that there is enough support out there to continue to prosper into the future?
I think there is, and that comes with, you know, further good planning. And the Southwest Regional Blueprint is certainly a step in the right direction. We need to make sure that further infrastructure projects, as outlined in that blueprint, are supported. So things like roads to export, further stages to the Bunbury Outer Ring Road, you know, making sure that there's appropriate development at those regional airports such as Busselton, and making sure that the road linkages to the port are in place to avoid any congestion and concerns around encroachment.